Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Good morning. Good Tuesday morning to you. Kind of cold, kind of frosty out there, and still some icy spots out there on the road, so do be careful. As we continue to sift through the debris of Sunday afternoon against the Chiefs, you got some leftover observations from the game. Hit us up on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. The main topic of conversation continues to be Drew Lock and Vic Fangio talking about what he needs to see more of from Lock.
Well, I think as a team, we just need to fix our entire passing game. You know, we just haven't thrown it very efficiently the last 2 weeks. And that's an 11-man operation. That's us as coaches. We're all in it together. And we got to go to work on that, and it has to improve, no doubt about it. And as the quarterback, I think we all need to keep in mind that it is an 11-man operation, and us as coaches are involved too. And we've got to make improvements there. There's no two ways about that.
Okay. What else is wrong with the Broncos passing game besides Lock?
Well, I think predictability is a problem. I think that when you're having some success, as Mike Kliss came on and talked about in second down, and you get into third down and you want to, you know, be in three wides and eliminate, when you start to eliminate the potential of run, when you start to eliminate, to me, one of the issues, Mike, that I think play callers get into is that when you eliminate the things that defenses have to defend with personnel groupings and formations that you put your team into, and I understand there's a time to go five wide and, you know, half the time what you see when you motion a back out of the backfield in the league and you put them outside the numbers, what are you really doing? All you're really doing is fishing for information, right? That's throwing out a bobber and seeing if there's anything out there. So you throw it out there, and what happens? If the corner stays, you know they're in zone. So now what do? Let's motion him back in. Are they in a two high? Is this a third down and four where we can actually run the ball? And there's very few coaches that'll run the ball in third down and four. They don't want to. They just don't. And because they want to throw it. And when you start to watch certain teams, I've got the Niners.
I was just going to go there. What you're saying right now sounds influenced by past study of the 49ers and your study
right
for this week, too.
Right. You currently start to see how great play callers think. It's not just about getting a one-on-one with your best player. It's about setting up your best player.
How does Shanahan do it?
Well, I will tell you, every play, I went through the first half of the Week 6 game. The first half of the Week 6 game of the Niners where they just whooped that team you watched on Monday Night Football, the Rams. They whooped them. And they went their first four drives. There was at least one shift and one motion in every one of those drives, and ultimately, many times, there was two shifts in a motion before they ever got into their cadence, before they ever got into their play calling. Jimmy Garoppolo did not throw a ball beyond 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage until there was 6 minutes left in the half. Every ball he threw was either behind the line of scrimmage or like a little arrow route, like a little hookup with the back. Every single one. There were multiple third down and five minus where they ran the ball. I mean, they were masters of getting you on your heels, and then they got into a fourth down and two. Third down and six, they ran it because he knew he was in two down territory, and they got a fourth down and two, zero coverage. Bam, he hit a little 10-yard in-cutting route, like a little drift route to the tight end. George Kittle got one-on-one with zero. There was no safety in the middle of the field. Bam, took it 45 for a touchdown. And it was like the way he sets things up. Now, this is the offense that you said a year ago that you wanted. and then you dumped it because you wanted to go deep. And again, it's like the Waze app, you know? I mean, like I said earlier in the show, this organization operates on the Waze app. Every time you see a roadblock, instead of adhering to what you believe, to having a tenet, like this is what we're going to be, you're like, uh-oh, get off here on this exit and wind through this neighborhood and we'll get back on the highway down the road. I mean, that's what they, there is no philosophical approach. There is no, what do they do? Well, we're getting speed and we're going deep and we're going toe-to-toe with Kansas City. Now what is it? We're going to have to look at our 11 personnel, maybe change it. I mean, that's, I'd have more respect for you as an organization if you just said, screw it, this is the way we go, this is the way we're going to go, we're going to fix our 11 personnel and we're just chucking it.
So the problem is that not only do they not have an identity, but even though they don't have an identity, a clear identity, they're very predictable in what they do.
Correct. Well, I mean,
so defenses know that this is the look they're going to come out in. They know they're going to run on first down.
If you get in a third down and six plus in kind of a sub package situation, I mean, I get that most teams are 100% throw in that. But if you get into that situation into, like, what are you going to do in three wides? Like, what are your route combinations in? What do you run? And for a defense, you're just defending that. And the other thing is, you can attack protections in those situations. I mean, how many protections can you run, Mike, if you have five guys up front, everybody's spread out, and you have a tight end on one side and open and a running back on the opposite side of the quarterback? What, like, how many different, as a defensive coordinator, if you're worth your salt, you know exactly where the slide's coming from and where the back is helping. I mean, it's a pretty much 100%. So now I can attack any guy I want. Do I want to get on a one-on-one with Cushenberry, the center, who's struggling right now? That's easy to do. Do I want to get a one-on-one with one of the guards? Do I want to get a one-on-one with Bowles? And can I? Well, no, not with the back on that side. I probably can't get a one-on-one with Bowles. So where am I going to go? And by the way, you know, Bowles isn't the guy you would attack right now because Bowles is the one guy that's playing really good.
Then it seems to me that what you're looking at right now is a case where Vic Fangio needs to step in, and he needs to tell Pat Shurmur things have to change. And what do those changes have to look like? We'll tell you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, something has to change when it comes to this offense that is struggling mightily. Vic Fangio perhaps opening the door to maybe exerting a little bit more control, a little bit more pressure on Pat Shurmur?
Possibly, but you know, some of those times you're in those groupings because of the situation, whether it be third down, whether it be you're trailing, et cetera. So I know we've played more three wides than the other groups, so the numbers will be higher. But, I mean, you make a good point. You know, we've had too many negative plays in that personnel group.
That's an understatement. Jeff Legwald from ESPN broke down the numbers, and they are bad. In the first 15 snaps alone on Sunday, when the Broncos were in a three wide receiver set, they allowed two sacks, interception return for a touchdown, lost a fumble, had an intentional grounding penalty. Now for the season in the three wide receiver grouping, the totals are now 13 sacks allowed, 10 interceptions, three fumbles lost, and just three touchdowns scored. Shades of Mike McCoy. It is... The similarities between Pat Shurmur and Mike McCoy are stunning to me, Mark. From a guy that was a head coach, probably looks at his position now as an offensive coordinator and feels that it's beneath him, he should be a head coach, and figures the best way to get back to being a head coach is let's throw the ball all over the place, put up big numbers, and get 80-year-old owners excited about me again. And it didn't work with Mike McCoy. Where's Mike McCoy now? And it's not working with Pat Shurmur. And Vic Fangio needs to step in and order some changes.
All the things that you didn't like about your last coordinator, you're going to have to go back to. And, you know, again, I just look at how are you going to create explosive plays? Do you think you're going to create explosive plays by pushing it down the football field? You'll create a couple. You know, that'll happen. But from a matchup standpoint, you're counting on, I suppose it was different when you were counting on Courtland Sutton. Like, you could line him up on the X into the boundary and say, hey, man, here we go. Even if they double team him, we're still got an opportunity because of 50-50 ball. This is what he does. But you're counting on, you know, Jerry Jeudy or KJ Hamler to pick those things up for you. They're young players. And ultimately, I think that when you're a coordinator and you're looking at some of the struggles, especially the inside three offensive linemen, that's Dalton Risner, the Sacred Cow, Lloyd Cushenberry, and, you know, Glasgow, you've got, and your right tackle. I mean, although DeMar Dotson's come in here and really solidified the right tackle position, but the bottom line is I'm just a believer in having duality in every down. Like, I understand that sometimes you're going to be in third down and long situations, Mike, and you're going to have to throw it. And I get that. Your percentages just go, look at third down percentages. Look at third down and long percentages throughout the league. Third down and short, third down and two plus. I mean, if you look at the league average, it's probably 70% conversion rate. Third down and, you know, seven plus is probably closer to 30%. There's a 40% swing in third and long versus third and short. And one of the reasons is why. Is that defense, you got to defend everything. So if I get down to third down and four and I'm spreading you all the time without having a back end, you've just done my job for me as a coordinator. Okay, there is no threat of run, guys. We don't have to play that. That will never, ever, ever make sense to me. And I come from a perspective, Mike, where I always think about it from the perspective of in the lens of having played offensive line and the position you put yourself in. So I talked to a coach last year. I'll just give you a little story. Talked to a coach last year and I asked him what he thought about his goal line package. He said, I really like what we did and blah, blah, and they didn't have success, but I really like what we did and I like the package. And I go, okay, why? I just was wondering what you thought of it. So we finished, you know, our production meetings, 25 minutes, and gets up and say, hey, man, really appreciate about it. He goes, come here, I need to ask you something. So what? And this is a head coach. He's like, what don't you like about my goal line package? Struck a nerve. I go, it's not a big deal. It's not what, no, seriously, what? I go, you were in goal line in the last 2 weeks. You were in goal line 12 times. You scored one touchdown. You were in goal line 12 times. Do you know that you had 12 distinctly different formations? You were 12 for 12 from a formational standpoint, a personnel standpoint. So your defense never had to defend, or the defense that you played against never had one thing to defend, and then you showed them that exact same thing. And they and so now you've got the threat of, hey, we could run the ball, we could run play action out of this, we could run something completely different out of this, but at least they've got, oh, they did this out of this formation. You gave them 12 distinctly different things, and so every time they were at the height of their focus based upon the different formation. It's like throwing a fastball and a curveball and a slider and throwing them all out of different arm slots. Hitter's going to figure it out. And I go, that personally for me, and I put myself, you know, through the lens of an offensive lineman, that sucks. It's awful.
Did they change?
Duly noted, they asked me to consult.
Have they changed?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Are they doing better?
Oh, yeah. But it's not because of me. It's because
it's just different.
But... Like, sometimes you need a little bit of perspective, right? Sometimes you need somebody to go, let me tell you why that's hard. Let me tell you why I don't like that. And you need some of that. And hey, Vic Fangio, I understand, you know, you're trying to, as a defense, you're trying to eliminate the explosives, but why do you, like, how do you create explosives?
Well, I guess it, I'm not an NFL coach,
mm-hmm.
but if I just gave you those numbers of what the Broncos have done when they have three wide receivers out there, they're shockingly bad. And if you look at how bad the Broncos are, I think they went into the game on Sunday 30th in the NFL on first down. And Mike Kliss comes on with us an hour ago and says, based on his study, they've only thrown the ball once on first down. And that's the kind of predictability and trends that if I can see that,
right?
Why can't they? Or they do see it, but they don't do anything about it? I mean, right. That's just... That's just dumb.
Yeah, or they make the excuse of, well, we're just not executing. And if we execute, we'll be fine.
Okay, four down territory coming your way next. More on what Vic Fangio would like to see different from Drew Lock. And a great, great, heartwarming story in the NFL yesterday. Share it with you next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is four down territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
Hurry, hurry. On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Many times, you know, his first look in there, I think his natural reaction sometimes is to flush out of the pocket. You know, sometimes he needs to stay with the progression of going to two or three a little more than he has possibly. And the only thing we're doing to try and correct that is continuing to work on it in practice.
Is Drew Lock, is that his go-to default? The moment he feels any heat, he's gone? Or are the Broncos calling a lot of those design rollouts? Or should they cut out those design rollouts entirely and just say, hey, you are staying in the pocket. You have got to learn to play from the pocket. Stay there. We're not even going to call a play for you to roll out.
No, I think they need to continue to run the boot keeps and get them outside the pocket to play pass stuff. I think it's always important to change things up just for your offense in general. But as you know, I mean, there are guys that operate from the pocket that just have that sense where they can feel the pocket. They can feel where they need to step up. They can feel. They can slide right. They can slide left. They can stay balanced within that thing and orchestrate and operate from that pocket. And that's something that, you know, I think you can always get better on at everything, but some guys just have an innate, almost instinctual ability to do that, and some don't. You got to find out if you got a guy that can do it. I mean, I tell you, Mike, I think there's an art form to, and those guys are artisans that can stay in that pocket, can slide around, can keep their eyes down the football field, looking at coverage and where to go with the football.
Look, this is a long, long leap, I know. But I saw a highlight of one of Tom Brady's touchdown passes the other day where he went to the fifth option on the play.
Yeah, the Peyton Manning breakdown of it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it was the fifth option, and it was just move, step, slide, step up. The guy didn't move more than a radius of about, I don't know, 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
But he just moved, step, eyes up the whole time, went to the fifth read, and threw a touchdown pass. Now, look, I'm not saying that's what I expect from Drew Lock.
Right.
But can we start seeing some of those plays where at least he goes, oh, wow, he clearly went to the number two guy there. Oh, he clearly went to his third option there.
Oh, and by the way, having done that game last week and talking to Bruce Arians and talking to Tom Brady, it was glorious. That coaching staff's coming together between Bruce and between Byron Leftwich and between Tom Brady and essentially saying, hey, here's what I like. Let's figure out how we're going to get into some things that I do well. And that's what they've done. There's a collaboration that has gone on, Mike, that has really helped Tom Brady here in the last 3-4 weeks be efficient.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Snap to Foles. Back to throw. He hitches. He unloads left side and going airborne to intercept is Jalen Ramsey. Right on cue. Out of bounds at the 35-yard line. Ramsey sat on that route, and he beat the targets of the football.
Rams radio as L.A. shut down Chicago 24-10 on Monday Night Football. You love watching the Rams and 49ers, don't you?
Oh, I do.
You love McVay and Shanahan. Because everything they're doing is right out of the Shanahan playbook, is the Mike Shanahan playbook.
Oh, absolutely, and they've grown it. But here's the difference, Mike. Everything that Sean McVay does is out of three wides. I mean, they have done more two tight stuff here recently based on their personnel and who they have. They've done a lot more two tight stuff than they've had in recent years. But it's still a three wides offense it's the illusion of spread. And then they thunder punch you in the face. Where Kyle Shanahan is, hey, give me a fullback, give me 21 personnel, give me two tights, give me 12 personnel, give me 22 personnel. And we're gonna cut you up in that, throwing the ball and running the ball and doing all the things we do. So it's essentially the same offense or the same style of offense, just done out of different personnel grouping. So you can do it. You can do it out of three wide. Now, your receivers have to be tough enough to block people and have to be committed to that. But, the Rams are living proof that you can line up in three wides and motion guys across and have guys get involved, either inserts and run up on safeties or linebackers or cut off backside defensive ends. They can be done, but you got to have guys that are willing to do it.
Next in four down territory.
Down.
For any type of competitor, do you feel embarrassed? Yeah, and I am as honest as I could possibly be right now. But yet it tells you. And the first thing I said to myself coming home, I said, "You keep playing games like that, bro, and it's going to be a permanent change."
Whoa, yeah. Cam Newton acknowledging he doesn't improve if he doesn't change things. What happened at the end of the game on Sunday could become a permanent change. He could be on the bench. Was it just a couple weeks ago? Was it just a few weeks ago? He went toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson, a entertaining game in Seattle, high scoring, and people were saying, wow, Patriots got themselves the steal of the offseason getting Cam Newton for less guaranteed money than the Broncos are paying Jeff Driscoll. Now all of a sudden he's looking over his shoulder at Jarrett Stidham.
Brady won, Belichick 0.
Oh, 1-0.
Well,
I mean, 1,000-0 right now.
Remember how early it was, and Brady didn't play well against New Orleans and threw a couple picks through pick six, and they were like, "I told you, Brady." Like, everybody wrote the obituary in the national media. "I told you Brady was falling off. It's finally, the Roosters are finally coming to roost, Bobby Boucher." And now what? The last 4 weeks or last 5 weeks, do you see this? Brady, 4-1, 15 touchdown passes. That's number one in the NFL in the last 4 weeks. 15-1 interception or touchdowns to interceptions, and like almost 1,500 yards passing, which was like the fourth most in the league.
Hey, you're not telling me anything I don't know. And for one of our texters, you know who you are, 405. Who always insisted, "Oh, it's not Brady, it's Belichick,
yeah,
it's Belichick's system, this and that." What do you have to say now? I guess Bill can't just plug any quarterback in there, huh? Maybe Brady was special. Maybe Brady was the difference. Boy, is it proving to be the fact now. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
I'll let him go here.
All right.
Man, that is a great story. Ron Rivera getting his last cancer treatment, cancer-free. When cancer patients are cleared and they ring the the bell on the way out. Everyone does the ovation. I mean, that is just, man, like, if some of your awesomeness isn't leaking out at that point.
Really cool. I mean, they got a victory.
You don't have a pulse.
They got a victory over the dreaded Cowboys. Just absolutely crushed them. I tell you, and then Ron, you know, ringing the bell. Good for Ron. He's one of the good guys in this league. Yeah, he's one of the really good guys in this league. So always am excited for good things to happen to good people.
All right, that'll do it for Four Down Territory. By the way, a Charles Johnson fifth down special. Did you see Mike Nolan yesterday?
He's
the beleaguered Cowboys defensive coordinator, and he's doing his Zoom call with the media, and apparently he had eaten something with Tabasco before he went up there, and he rubbed his eye. All of a sudden, like, rubbing his eye, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I got some Tabasco in my eye, and he had to stop.
We didn't have great eyes.
He's, like, grabbing his mask and... I'm like, wow, you know that.
That's a great.
It's just not your year.
That's a great tactic to get out of a Zoom call, right? Oops, I got hot sauce in my eyes.
Had some wings before I came out here. Bad idea.
Now that's trying.
Yeah,
that'll do it for Four Down Territory, fifth down in this case. Coming up next, all right, let's get to your text. You guys are responding, some outstanding texts, a lot of observations from what went down on Sunday, some leftovers, so we'll get to all that coming up.
That was one I got right away.
All right, let's get to some of your texts.
All right.
It's a leftover Tuesday. All the leftovers from the Broncos and Chiefs, stuff that kind of fell through the cracks in the immediate aftermath of discussing this one. Let's see. All right, here we go. Wait one darn minute. Fangio's the one who wanted this offense. Fangio has no idea about the other side of the ball. Deep down, he was all giddy Sunday because his defense couldn't be blamed. Well, this is going to test, won't it, Mark, the perception that is out there that Vic Fangio is here as the head coach in title only. He's here because of what he can do with the defense, and he's going to let the other coaches just do their thing. This will test it, because if he's a true head coach, he is going to butt his nose into the other side of the ball, and he's going to tell Pat Shurmur, Pat, I know this is your offense, I know this is your philosophy, I know this is supposedly your bread and butter, but it ain't working. Change it. Fix it. Be more conservative. Less three wides. It's not working.
At what point, Mike?
Order him to change it.
Order the code red?
Order the code red.
At what point do you give up your play calling duty and you become more involved? Like, you become the true general, like the guy in charge. Like, hey, man, Pete Carroll let that stuff go, right? I mean, he came up as a DB coach, as a coordinator, at what point do you say, hey, Ed Donatell, you're the defensive coordinator, you call the plays, right? We'll be having a conversation during the course of the game, but you call the plays and let me focus on the football team. Let me focus on special teams. Let me focus on the offense. Let me focus on the entirety of the game, especially the game day procedure. You may be doing that during the course of the week as a head coach, but don't you need to be truly doing that on the sideline? Don't you need to be doing that during the game, during the procedural aspects of the game? Now, we know that there's been some clock management issues that, you know, early in the season against Tennessee that, you know, weren't addressed or weren't admitted after the game. But, you know, as you took a bunch of heat, you had to, you know, backpedal on those things and say, yeah, I screwed it up. I mean, wouldn't you be better off just actually operating in that fashion, especially with an offense that just isn't producing? I mean, come on now. How long has this offense not produced for? And we continue to do the same damn thing.
2014?
Well, continue to do the same damn thing. You know, with the McCoy and with then the Billy Musgrave and then the, you know, and then you switch it up and you knew there were going to be some growing pains with Scangarello, but you said that's the offense you want because you've always had a tough time defending it until you decided that it wasn't the offense that you wanted and you wanted to push the ball down the field for your young quarterback. Like, pick a lane. Get off ways.
Here's another one. If we're giving Locke all this time, how come Herbert has come in with no training camp and looks years ahead of Locke? Sorry, Locke doesn't have it. He might turn out to be a good backup, but that's it. What can I tell you? What Justin Herbert's doing right now is extraordinary. He's an outlier. You could take Justin Herbert's first five games and put him up against any quarterback in NFL history. NFL history. Take all the all-time greats. He's off to a better start. It is the outlier. Most quarterbacks, the overwhelming majority of them, struggle early. Herbert, right now, isn't. Now, maybe at some point the league will catch up. But you're right, right now.
How many starts is Herbert
right now, he's the outlier.
How many starts? Is he at five starts right now?
Five starts.
And he's been, in all of them, he's been exceptional,
yeah,
right?
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, there's unquestioned. Last week, he was 27 of 43, 347 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, had nine rushing attempts for 66 yards. Well, he's been exceptional.
Yeah, he's completing 67% of his passes. He's averaging 300 yards passing per game. He's got 12 touchdowns and three picks. He's been extraordinary.
You know, I mean, think about
it. But that's an aberration.
Well, but is it? I mean, look at...
Compared to most young quarterbacks.
Joe Burrow is doing the same type of stuff.
Joe Burrow's been... He's had flashes, but he's also had some games where he's been pretty invisible.
Joe Burrow's been all... Look up his stats. Look up Joe Burrow's stats. Like, Joe... And on not as talented a football team. Where they can't protect him, Mike. Where he's taking four or five sacks a game. His stuff has been unbelievable. I mean, at least you know you got the dude. Like, there's no, like, right now, when Chargerville or in Cincinnati, you're not wondering, is he the guy? You know you got it. Like, and we always joke around, you got to have a dude playing quarterback, right? You got to have a dude. Guy that just has it, whatever it is. There's no denying Burrow has it.
Okay. I mean, he's just a couple games removed from going 19 of 30 for 183 yards and no touchdowns. He did have a really good game against Cleveland, but prior to that, two games, no touchdowns, two picks. You know, so no, he's had flashes.
He's been.
I like Joe Burrow.
Joe's been good.
But you know, you watch the Cincinnati offense. I mean, he throws the ball a ton. Look at the attempts. Here's his attempts. Uh-huh. 36, 61, 44, 36. 30, 39, 47. You know what they're doing? They're saying, hey,
where's his completion percentage?
66.
Yeah. I mean,
what's the difference? He's throwing the ball that many times and he's still having a pretty high completion percentage. What does that tell you? A lot of short throws, a lot of underneath stuff. He's got good receivers. Guys like Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green's having a bit of a renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
T. Higgins was a nice pickup for them. Another receiver who's doing better than Jerry Jeudy. But they're not just telling him to chuck it down the field all the time.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't be if you're
throwing the ball that many times.
Yeah, he's got yards. But the bottom line is they feel like they got the guy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, isn't that where it is? And we're wondering. And I just get somebody on the text line, hey, Drew looked great in his first five games, too. No, he didn't. You know, in regards to the Herbert talk, no, he didn't. Drew didn't look great in his first five. Drew looked great, as I mentioned, in that Houston game. But as I've talked to you many times, he probably should have thrown three picks in the first half that he got away with. And, you know, guys made plays. But he didn't look great. They won games. They went 4-1. But there were still question marks out there.
Here's one. You can ride a fast horse slow, but you can never make a slow horse fast. I would much rather they try to rein Locke in a little and teach him to take what they give him as opposed to the quarterback that never looks to go big. Okay, that's an interesting. Should it be in theory, okay? Should it be easy to make Locke do less, do more with less? If you think about it, okay? If all of a sudden you say, hey, look, Drew, we're not looking to go down the field as much. I don't want your first look to be down the field. I want you to take what the defense gives you. I want you to look for that quick 6-yard slant. I want you to look for, the tight end who's running across.
Right.
In theory, shouldn't you be able to, I don't know, for want of a better phrase, dumb it down?
Well, should
for your quarterback?
Well, shouldn't you be able then to call? Well, that to me is on the coordinator then to dumb it down for the quarterback. Then you say, hey man, I'm going to eliminate all these deep strike throws. And I'm gonna keep it intermediate to short. That's the way I'm gonna call plays. That's what we're doing. Or change the progression. Hey, instead of the go being your number one read, I want you to go flat to intermediate, like flat to corner to go. Like I want you to go from short to intermediate. Like that's your progression. And if short's there, get rid of it. Or, you know, I mean, if intermediate's there, get rid of it. So that, a lot of that goes on to the play caller and how you create the progression. Who's one, who's two, who's three. So those are the things again that come back to the way you call plays, the way you set up your offense, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Keep these texts coming. Ramelsaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Here's one. What did we agree to? Locke couldn't hit the broadside of a barn Sunday. We didn't agree to anything, first off. We assumed Locke could hit a wide-open Fant when he was wide open every other play. Quit making excuses for awful play. We just want Locke to be competent. This goes back to the point I was making earlier. Correct me if I'm wrong, but during this long, long offseason, when everything was shut down, and the Broncos didn't have mini camps, they didn't have OTAs, they didn't have a regular training camp, they didn't have preseason games, what did we all seem to universally agree to? Was the idea that this offense is going to struggle early. It's going to take a while to find continuity. It's going to take a while until Locke gets on the same page with his receivers, until Locke and Shurmur find a comfort zone.
Right.
We all agree to it. So my point is, why then after just a couple of bad performances are we all just now, that's it, I've had it, it's not going to work, how can we get Trevor Lawrence, how can we get Justin Fields, or we got to get rid of Pat Shurmur? Did we forget everything that we agreed to during the offseason? Or I guess maybe the bigger point is, what exactly did we think struggling was going to look like? If we all agreed this offense is going to struggle early on and the hope is it'll get better and be trending up by the end of the season, my question to everybody out there is, okay, this is what you seem to agree to, then what did you think struggling was going to look like when you agreed to that during the offseason?
All right, so let me answer that for you, because herein lies the problem. You knew there were going to be some stinkers. You knew there were going to be some bad plays. I mean, that was part of what you signed up for. But you thought you had a formula. You thought you had an identity. You thought you kind of had it figured out. You were told that you're as fast as the Chiefs. You were told they were going to push the ball down the football field because of all the talent. Your general manager went on a victory tour after the draft. And that's what you were told. You were told we bounced off the bottom. And right now you're averaging 19 points a game and you don't have a philosophical approach. And now after 6 weeks and a 4-2 record in which you kick six field goals against a team in New England that now looks like they're atrocious. And, you know, you beat the Jets by what, a touchdown or whatever in a shootout. And the Jets are the worst team in football. So, you know, if you take that Jets score out, Mike, what do you think you're averaging if you take that Jets score out? You're averaging about 13 points a game. Because what do they score in that Jets game? 38 or something like that?
37.
You take that game out, you're averaging 13, 12, 13 points a game.
Yeah, 14, 21, 10, 18, 16.
So the point being is right now you're six games into this thing with a bye week that was forced upon you, and you're no closer to having an identity than you were while you were doing Zooms.
Well, no, wait a minute. I disagree with that. They do have an identity. It's based on the numbers, the trends. They like to play with multiple wide receivers out there.
But
that's their identity.
No.
But it's not working.
No, you don't have an identity because your head coach just said, I'm going to have to look at it and see what changes we have to make.
Well, no, you've had an identity to this point.
But what I'm saying is after six games, you no longer have whatever your identity, whatever you thought it was, right, is not it. And now you're going to make a change again.
You would think. You would hope. I mean, he said it. He said, we're going to look at it. Mm. Do you think he follows through?
I think you have to.
So do you think coming up on Sunday, we will see a different look to this offense?
I think you'll see, situationally, yes. I think you'll see situationally, I think you'll see something different in third downs. I think you'll see some different situations based upon how bad they're struggling. In those, you know, in third down situation, I think you'll see a little bit more variety on first down. I think you'll see some of that, yes.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.